In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. As a priest, I think about prayer a lot. I talk about prayer, read about prayer, write about prayer, perhaps even more than I actually pray, although I try to keep up with that too. Here are just a few examples of how the topic of prayer came up for me this past week. I went on an overnight retreat with the other clergy to Incarnation Center in Connecticut. And there was a large group of Catholic girls also on retreat, and we would see them in the dining hall. And before every meal, they said the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father, as they would call it, to bless the food. I thought, how interesting. It never occurred to me to do that. But hey, give us this day our daily bread. Sort of makes sense, right? Here's another example. I met with a parishioner who wants to involve God in making an important life decision. So we talked about discerning God's will through a practice of contemplative prayer. I told him I once heard that being still in God's presence for 5 minutes a day is like flossing your teeth, as in it's something you simply have to do to maintain your health. And finally, I learned a helpful prayer practice that involves journaling. You start by jotting down the names of people and phrases about certain things as you pray for them. And then you draw a horizontal line on your page, and that line marks a transition. At that point, you listen for who and what God wants you to pray for, and what actions God might be prompting you to take. I'm excited to give that exercise a try. Now, these anecdotes about prayer are all fine and good, and I'd say typical in the life of a priest. They affirm the loving nature of our God and the power of prayer to bring us closer to God, helping us to become more like Jesus. However, I had one more conversation about prayer this week. Someone brought up a troublesome aspect of prayer, one that can prevent us from drawing close to God. And that is the experience of prayer going unanswered. Our gospel today encourages us to be persistent in prayer. Like someone who keeps knocking on the door of their friend's house in the middle of the night. Open up, open up. I need your help. And finally, the friend answers. Our gospel also assures us with the words, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. Now this and many other passages in the Bible lead us to believe in an interventionist God. We believe that God can intervene in the world and in the course of events. We believe God can give us what we ask for. We believe that God has power over our circumstances, and we can pray for God to change our circumstances. And I'd say God encourages these types of prayers. God encourages us to ask and says we'll receive, but sometimes things we pray for don't come to pass. And we know that God is not a vending machine there to give us whatever we want. And we know that God honors free will, which means the free will of someone exercising it wrongly can work against a prayer for something good and holy and just, like freedom from oppression or protection from danger. I could list off other caveats too, but all that aside, I have prayed fervently for healing, for deliverance, for provision, and more than once I've come to the place of asking, why didn't my prayer work? And I've wondered, did I not pray hard enough? Or should I give up this form of prayer altogether, maybe I shouldn't ask God for anything. Being fervent in prayer implies that we pray not only with persistence, but also with passion. It means praying our deepest desire, maybe even the thing we're afraid to ask for. But that can be hard to do because we don't want to be let down. So maybe we hold back on those particular prayers and treat them as off limits. It's like being afraid to profess your love to someone because they might not love you back. Or you manage your expectations around a family member's behavior because you don't want to hurt quite so badly when they inevitably disappoint you again. Of course, this is God we're talking about. God always loves us back, and God never misbehaves, yet God does leave us disappointed. Whether that's God's fault or our fault or no one's fault, we've all been there. So, I'll tell you about one time that I was there. When I found the Episcopal Church in my mid-20s, a special person in my life suffered from alcohol addiction. So while leafing through the Book of Common Prayer, I found a collect for victims of addiction in the back of the book. I printed out this collect, I laminated it, and made a little card that I tucked inside my wallet. And then every day, on my walk to work, I would stop in a magnificent old church, I would kneel, light a candle, and pray that this person would stop drinking. Sometimes I would rush through the prayer, having started my morning commute a little later than usual. Other days I would take my time. I'd whisper the words aloud with tears streaming down my face. Maybe I would light a second candle if I was really choked up. Now that prayer practice brought me comfort, but it also magnified my pain because I did not see God moving. For years I did this and I did not see God responding, and I was deeply disappointed and frustrated and sad. Have you had a similar experience? It leaves me with a question. How do we enter into that tension between coming before the throne with boldness, making our request made known with passion and persistence on the one hand, and on the other hand, knowing that God might not deliver? Well, the simplest thing would be to avoid that tension altogether and to shy away from God. Many people take that road. Or we could dampen that passionate prayer so that it becomes a little more half-hearted and our relationship with God becomes a little more tepid. But I don't think that's the answer either. I also think there's another question underlying this one, and that is, can God be trusted? Can God be trusted with my heart and with my allegiance? Can God be trusted with my pain? Can God be trusted with my life? Rowan Williams, former Archbishop of Canterbury, speaks to the trustworthiness of God by defining faith as dependable relationship. Dependable relationship. And some of you might recognize that phrase. We have about 25 parishioners engaged in small groups studying Williams' book, Being Disciples. In Being Disciples, he explains that faith does not consist of accepting a bunch of doctrinal propositions about God. Rather, faith grows its true meaning amidst confusion and loss. Williams writes, "Faith appears not as a system or a comprehensive answer to all our problems. It appears quite simply in the form of dependable relationship. You may not understand or have the words on the tip of your tongue, but you learn somehow to be confident in a presence who does not change or go away. You realize that when the signposts and landmarks have been taken away, there is a presence that does not let you go. And that is faith, a confidence that I can be held even when I don't feel I can hold on. If my relation with the living truth is initiated and sustained by God's faith, not mine, it is dependable. Dependable relationship. Now, it's my belief that prayer of all types leads us to experience faith in this way. When I was kneeling in a church and praying that collect for victims of addiction, I would dry my eyes, place that little laminated slip of paper back in my wallet, and dig out a dollar's worth of coins to drop in the wooden collection box. The coins, they came from the spare change that my husband would empty from his pockets the day before. And one morning, as I was plucking quarters off the countertop, he said that I had great faith. And in that moment, I wasn't so sure. As I mentioned, I was frustrated and disappointed by God. But eventually, I realized that my husband was right. My faith grew because of God's faithfulness to me. Through persistent prayer, I experienced God as faithful, even though God was telling me no, or wait, or trust, because I'm doing something you cannot see. And that is why I continue to knock on the door. Jesus says, again in our gospel passage for today, "Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, I read this to mean that no matter what we ask for, God will give us the Holy Spirit. God will always give us grace, even if God does not give us the thing our heart longs for. So I want to end on a note about unfulfilled longing. At one point, I had a spiritual director who told me that unfulfilled longing can be a gift from God. And I thought I understood what she was saying. Basically, that longing for something can drive us closer to God. It can advance our spiritual maturity, provided we don't let the longing create bitterness in our hearts or idolatry over what we long for. And I saw that kind of spiritual upshot as a silver lining, a consolation prize in the face of not getting what I really wanted in the first place. But now I know there's more to it than that. I've found that it is possible to long for something, to desire something intensely, while also being detached from whether you ever get it. And this is a detachment that only God can provide. God meets our desire with spiritual, if not earthly, fulfillment, allowing us to hold the earthly desire lightly. And this is letting go in the truest possible sense. It's spiritual freedom, grounded in our dependable relationship with God, who will never let go of us. We ask, we knock, we seek, and we are guaranteed that God will give us the Holy Spirit in return. So know that God has heard the desire of your heart. God knows your innermost longings. God has borne witness to your deepest pain. And there is no reason to ever hold anything back from our God. For whether or not God gives us the thing we long for, God meets us in the longing and gives us grace. A grace that's not only sufficient, but an answer to prayer. Amen.